Turn your Bibles to John chapter 15. I'm going to try and finish this up. We'll see how well that works. Some days it does. I want to read like the first 8 verses again. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And I'm going to stop right there. Now, last week, talked about Christ being the true vine. Yeah. The only vine.
Yeah.
Now, people will say there's other vines out there. People will say there's Christ out there. Some people will say they are Christ. Okay, they're all wrong. Okay. Another pop culture reference from Obscure, in this case, Dire Straits. He did a song, and one of the verses in the song says, two men claim to be Jesus, one of them must be wrong. That's basic logic. Well, it's true, but actually both of them are wrong. Anyhow, there's only one true vine. And that's Jesus Christ. Before Abraham was, I am.
Amen.
He has always been the true vine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the God that lived in the olden times is just the same today.
Yeah.
The same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. If he's the true vine here in John chapter 15, he's the true vine now.
Amen.
He'll be the true vine in the time of the book of Revelation. He'll be the true vine for the rest of eternity.
Yeah.
And he was the true vine in the Old Testament. My Father is the husbandman. Went into that. The farmer. The man in charge.
Yeah.
The Father is the husbandman. He runs the place. The farmer, the husbandman, grows the crops, gets the harvest, and distributes the harvest as he sees fit. We're talked about here, it says, every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit. That's what the husbandman does. And Walter, we were talking afterwards. You see who gets that fruit? The Father. Any good thing that comes out of me comes from God and is God's. To his praise, to his honor, and to his glory. That's where it's supposed to go. Because he is the husbandman. And he's the one that picks the fruit. And what he does with the fruit is his business, but he does it so that I'll grow more fruit.
Amen.
Like I said, I don't lose what I had, I get more. And I was tongue-in-cheek, but a little bit serious. I don't want to be humbled right now because humbling is painful. But I have been humbled before. Tribulation worketh patience. It don't mean you want tribulation. Patience is good. And I've got more than I used to have, thank God. But I don't want to have to go through what I had to go through to get there. There was a fellow that had a saying, said, learn from the mistakes of others. You don't have time enough to make them all yourself. But also it is true what Earl used to say, it's the burned hand that teaches best. Sometimes you don't learn something until you learn something. You learn it. Me learn it. Other things I can learn from the mistakes of others. Sometimes. But the Lord of the harvest gets the harvest. And what he does with the fruit's his business. Because it's his vine, it's his branch, it's his farm, it's his field, it's his land. We're just branches. And he is the husbandman. Now, the next verse says this statement, which is just beautiful. And glorious and miraculous and marvelous. Now ye are clean. And this is from the Christ of God saying this. Now ye are clean. Wonder when that happened. Now you're clean. This is the part that matters. Now they knew it. That they were clean. Because Christ said they were clean. And that's the only thing you have to know about that verse, really, if you want to know the truth about it. Christ says you're clean, you're clean.
Yeah.
And Christ is not going to say that you're clean unless you are clean. And he's not going to say you're clean unless he has cleansed you. And he told these disciples, now ye are clean. Exactly when Christ said they were clean, they knew they were clean. And I love this because it does say now. It's not later. It's not in the sweet by and by. I'll be clean. No, Christ said now ye are clean. Now. He didn't even say, now you need to be clean. He didn't ask them if they wanted to be clean. He didn't ask them to do anything in order to be clean. No, he said, now you're clean. And they were clean. I love that statement. Because that's what I need. That's what I want. I need a declarative statement from God saying that I am clean because I don't feel clean.
Yeah, amen.
I don't. But God, Christ, is one that calleth those things that are not as though they are. In his eyes. In the Father's eyes, in the husbandman's eyes, I am a branch that brings forth good fruit, whether I know it or not, whether I feel it or not. In Christ, I am clean. And in Christ, you are clean. Now. And I love that statement. I do. That is just miraculous to me. And like I said, he didn't even ask them if they wanted to be clean. People say, oh, everybody wants to be clean. No, they don't. There's a couple instances in Scripture that I know about where there speak of some that go back to their wallowing in the mire, and speak of another where it turns back to its own vomit. Because that's what they want. I believe he calls them pigs and dogs. The sow's gone back to her wallowing in the mire. The dog is turned again unto his own vomit because they don't want to be clean. Because being clean, things change. You learn to love the Word of God. You learn to desire. You do desire the Word of God. And you'll learn. Little by little, precept by precept, here a little, there a little. That's the way it works. But the Spirit of God has promised to teach us the things which pertain to Jesus Christ. And He does. I've experienced it. Others have experienced it. But others won't have it. They don't want to be clean, and they don't want to be fed by the Son of God, by Jesus Christ. And then he tells you how it was done. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That's not the gospel. It's not. I'm sorry. That's not the gospel. The gospel is what we preach. This is the word from Jesus Christ. It's a little bit different thing. Now, if somebody wants to preach that's the gospel, you just go right ahead, but you're wrong. It's not even close. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Being clean comes from His word, which He speaks to us. How's the good shepherd call his sheep? By name. Individually. Individually. Christ speaks to His people, and they live. Being clean doesn't come, here it is reiterated again, being clean doesn't have anything to do with what we do.
Right.
None of it. It has nothing to do with what I'm doing right here, right now.
Right.
Preaching doesn't clean anyone.
Right.
Now, if you're preaching the truth, and even sometimes I'll tell you, if you're not preaching the truth, those that are clean may gleam a little bit from it. But I don't make anybody clean. Walter doesn't make anybody clean. And Earl Cochran will tell you the same thing. He never made anybody clean. Christ makes you clean. Christ says, now you are clean. Through His word. Not through mine. Because it's not even through the word you heard. I like that. I read that. I thought, yeah, that's not what it says. It's through the word He spoke. It's not through the word you heard, even though you heard. Even though you heard, that's not the point. He spoke it, it come to pass.
Amen.
He's purposed it, He'll do it. And He did it. And thank God it's not through the word which I understood. Because if it was by understanding, I'd still be lacking.
Yeah, me too.
It's through the word which Christ spoke to them. The word of Christ is power. His word has the power to clean the unclean. It's not that we were just dirty. It's not that we were just filthy. We were unclean.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't supposed to even be in the assembly, Mason. We're supposed to be outside and cry unclean. Even though we were dirty, and we were filthy, and we were ugly, we were mean, we were nasty, we were whatever word you want to use. The fact is, we were dead in trespasses and in sins. And an alien, a stranger from God, we didn't even know who God was. Much less his son. But Christ speaks the word. And now, ye are clean. In his sight, in the Father's sight, the husbandman accepts you as a branch of the vine. It's amazing to me. What word does Christ speak unto his people? I remember the first time Earl read this, and that just hit me. Man, I've never forgotten that. It says, "And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live." And he says it again. "Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live." And you know what happened? Anybody God says that to lives.
Amen.
Everybody God says that to lives. But God isn't talking to everybody. Now ye are clean. It's not the world that's clean. Ye are clean because I have spoken the word unto you. I love that verse. That's Ezekiel 16 verse 6. I love that verse. I had read Ezekiel, but I don't remember that. The fellow we were at the other church before we came here, he was teaching from Ezekiel on Wednesday nights when I started going down there. I didn't understand a thing about it. Yeah, that's exactly right. He did. Well, it was evident from it. I'm serious. You know, that pastor and teacher thing, Walter? I'm going to tell you something. That man couldn't teach his way out of a wet paper bag. That's a God's honest truth. I mean, I'm serious as a heart attack. I sat in there listening to him, and I thought that in my head. I didn't say it back then. But he couldn't teach to save his life. It was horrible. And luckily, it was just the last couple chapters of Ezekiel. And I don't know whether he was in a hurry for him to get out of it, but I was. And we did get out of it. But I never remembered that verse, even though I know I read it. I read it on my own, and then, you know, he must have read it sometime or another. Now, I might not have been there for that, but still, when Earl read that verse, it's like, man. And that's Old Testament stuff. Folks were saved different in the Old Testament. No, they weren't. No, they weren't. No, they weren't. They were saved because Christ said they were saved.
Amen.
He spoke the word unto them, and they lived. And he said, they're clean. And the reason he said they were clean is because he cleansed them through the word that he spoke unto them.
Amen.
And it's just the same today. It's just the same today. These disciples, now ye are clean through the word which I spoke unto you. Abide within me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Life is in the vine for the branches. Nowhere else. Life comes from the vine to the branches. Nowhere else. I wonder what this metaphor means. It means life comes from Christ.
Amen.
And life is in Christ. And if you don't get that, I got nothing for you. There's nothing to say. Well, there's a lot to say, but it doesn't do any good. The branch only lives because of the life that is actually in the vine. We are clean through his word because we live at his word. Christ says, live in me. This is where we abide. This is where we have, believers have, their abode. In him. Now ye are clean. Abide in me. Live in me. This is where we want to be. In him. This is who we want to know. Him. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the Christ of God, the one with whom we have to do, and the one with whom we want to do. The beauty of this statement to me is, see, in verse 3, now ye are clean, he gives life. Through his word spoken to you, you live. The next verse says, abide in me. Live in me. Your dwelling, your abode, for your soul, your life is in Christ. So not only do we live, come to life by Christ, we continue.
Thank you.
I almost said persevere, but it's not that. It's not persevere. We live in him. Now, it's not that he just gave us life, and there you go. Go for it. Don't lose it. That's what some people say. Don't lose it. You can't lose it. You're in him.
Amen.
You didn't put yourself in him. You can't take yourself out of
Amen.
Him.
That's right.
Abide in me. Because, then he says, I in you. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I didn't go out and get this life. I don't go out and keep this life. I can't. And nothing personal, neither can you. That's it. You can't. Abide in me and I in you. Otherwise, there is no life. And then he says again, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. I don't want to bring you down, but it's all right. It's true. Now, that's not saying we don't do something. It's saying we don't do anything without him. Come back to that other thing. He puts it in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's still true. That's still in the book. And guess what? It agrees with what Christ said right here. Himself in his own words, without me, you can do nothing. And if you got a problem with that, take it up with the management. I'm just repeating what he said. And by God's grace, that's all I'm going to do is concentrate on what he said. And what this book says. When he says live, you'll live. When he says abide, you'll abide. And when he says, I'm in you, I'm in you. He says, without me, you can do nothing. Without him, you can do nothing. Sometimes it is that simple, if you read what it says. And it's, ooh, yeah. I do want to comment on this. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Now, there's no question about this from what I just said. Without me, you can do nothing. So bear fruit without him, you can't. There is no fruit without the vine. There are no branches without the vine. And the branch doesn't bear fruit of itself. I mentioned a bit of this last week. The branch's job is not to make other branches. The branch's job is to make fruit. Whatever fruit the husbandman wants is going to be produced, because he's going to see to it. Now, some may have a lot of fruit. Some may have strong fruit. You may have strong branches, weak branches. But any branch there is that bears fruit, it's coming from the vine.
Amen. That's right.
And that's coming from the husbandman. And he's happy with it because he's produced it. I don't get a lot of it. I don't understand a lot of it. When it comes to, Walter, I figured it up. It's almost 30 years since God converted me. And I thought, where did the time go? But I am no longer 23 years old. And sometimes it seems like the mileage has been worse than the years. But I've seen a few things in that time. And I thank God I'm not back where I was when I was 23 years old and dumb as a post and ignorant as the day is long.
Yeah.
He has brought me along in his way, at his speed, at his time. Because there are times I've talked to Walter or something he said, and I'll find out he had said that before. Well, Earl, same way, was the same way. He'd say something and I'd get it. I'd understand it. I'd grasp it and God reveal it to me. But he had said the same thing 5 years before.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it. Or I just glossed over it. Here a little, there a little. That's what it says. And that's what it means. You're not going to get it all at one time. Now, thankfully, when he says live, and you do start hearing the gospel, you do get a good lump sum. But there is so much more that I have learned, and that I believe I have grown, and I've seen Walter grow in the way we've talked and what we've talked about and the way he's preached and the way he's preaching now. I've seen the growth. That's from God. Abide in me, and I abide in you.
Yeah.
It's from him. Yeah. It's the truth of God. It is the message of the gospel. Everything we do have comes from him. Without me, you can't do anything.
Yeah.
With me, you've done everything you've done, except for the sin part. That's our own. That's my own, and I'm not blaming him for it. He kept me out of the worst of it, I hope. Anyhow, where it says verse 11, I'm not verse 11, this is point 11 of my message. Sorry about that, folks. Although verse 11 is good too, but anyhow, it's verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And throw that in there. Oh, they're cast in the fire. No, they're burned. They're cast in the fire and burned. This is one of them things. John Gill actually showed me a little something here. Now, because the point here where he says this, and this is just very simple but very potent. He doesn't say, if ye abide not in me. He says, if a man abide not in me. It's two different people. Now ye are clean, but if a man abide not in me. Now I take this to mean, seriously, everybody that's not in Christ. It's not one of his chosen people. That's who it's talking about. But specifically, if you really want to know the truth of it here, this is one thing John Gill pointed out. There was one fella missing at this time. His name was Judas. Walter was talking about this. And that's what made me think of it, Walter. And then I saw where John Gill had that little, I got the little thing side by side of the scripture, and you click on it, and then you get his little commentary beside it. And it works wonders for me. Because I need all the help I can get sometimes. And he said, Judas is gone. And I looked, yeah, he is. He left in John chapter 13 and verse 30. Then having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Judas is gone. Because you'll also find in the beginning of 13, Jesus said unto them, when he's talking about foot washing, he said, Jesus saith unto them, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. And it says, because Judas is gone, now ye are clean. And if a man abide not in me, I think that's a reference to Judas. And by there, everybody else that's outside of Christ. But that just hit me, because that is just part of that. I can't write like this to make that distinction every time just perfectly. Now ye are clean, you know, and abide in me. And then if a man, doesn't say if ye, because if ye are clean, you're going to abide. And if you're abiding not, you're not clean. And now ye are clean. So if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth. And is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire. And it says he's cast forth as a branch. It doesn't say a branch was cast forth. He's cast forth as a branch. And the end is this. They're burned. That's it. Not only are they cast into the fire, they're burned. No one likes to hear about being burned, but it's real. It's a reality. It's not pleasant, but it's real. And Christ didn't leave it out. The world wants us to. The world would love for us to. There's only one place that I come up, I wrote down here, where the word fruit is used in conjunction with our actions. And I wanted to give this to you just to close out here. Because I like this verse. So Hebrews 13 and verse 15. It says, by him, by Christ, Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. The fruit of our lips can be a good thing. The tongue's an unruly member and hard to tame. But the fruit of our lips, when we praise God, is a good thing. Now, I don't do it continually. I wish I did, but I don't. I want to, but I can't take any credit for that, because it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. What's in you is going to come out. I'm continually reminded, as I get older, Walter, how I hear some people change as they get older. You know, like they didn't used to be like that. And I always wonder, and usually, see, where I hear it is in reference to them getting meaner. Just to be clear about this, okay? They're really mean people don't seem to get sweet in their old age. Let's just put it that way. But there are people that say, you know, she never used to be that way, or he never used to be that way. You know, bless their heart, they're just mean as a snake. And I've met some of these people. And I will ask people who have known myself, were they always like that? No. And I always wonder, well, maybe they always were. It's just now that it's leaking out. It's in there. And sometimes it'll come out. It'll come out on me. Y'all might not believe this, but I have been known to go on a rant on occasion.
Quit it.
Yeah. It happened Friday at work. I went home for lunch and didn't even talk to Debbie. It's like, just leave me alone. I'm fine, you know. Trying to put it out of my mind, and I have. Coming here will do that for you. It's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And if He has made you clean, and if He abides in you, and you abide in Him, every now and then, it's going to leak out of your lips. It will. And that's a good fruit. To praise God. Yeah. Continually is what it says. That's what we ought to do. I'm just happy when I praise God at all. And I want to praise Him more. But that makes me unhappy because I don't. But to praise God. To extol that He is the same yesterday and today and forever. That's a good thing. And we ought to do it more. And hopefully by His grace we will. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful that You are the husbandman. And You have given us the true vine, our Lord Jesus Christ. And He has made us branches and given us fruit. Given us life and love. And peace and joy. Thank You. In His name we pray. Amen.